You are listening to The Bird Calls, SB Nation's podcast dedicated to thebirdrights.com. What's up, Pels fans? We are back. The left ring finger is healed just in time for the NBA regular season. Today, we are joined by the old battle axe himself, fresh from tossing floaters to Fletcher Mackel on the hardwood. Are those old bones healing fast over there, Ollie?
I popped in a leave as soon as I got home.
Signs of getting old, man. And we are joined by Memphis Grizzlies expert, GrizzlyBearBlues.com's contributor and 3&D podcast host, Mark King. Welcome back, Mark. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again, man. Great to be back.
Of course, man. We got four matchups this year, so we're going to need to – I'm going to have you on speed dial by the end of this season. I'm your host, Preston Ells, and as always, you can follow me at Preston Ells for the latest news on the pod, at Ollie Cassell for my boss over there, that old guy, and at King_producer for Mark. He's a great follow, and he'll give you all the insights on the team we will be seeing four times, as I just said, this year. Let's get rolling. Mark, you must be exhausted from the butt-whooping you gave our Pels this past Friday, 142-101. But before we get to that, talk a bit about losing Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, and Tony Allen, and your team's promise to retire their jerseys, and in many ways, the grit and grind era itself in Memphis.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a difficult offseason for a lot of people, but I think the team, they knew they had a direction they wanted to go, and it did not include those guys. They wanted to get younger, which they very much did. They wanted to get more athletic, which, you know, that remains to be seen. But yeah, it was a weird offseason for the Grizzlies. They definitely made it very clear to everybody involved that they wanted to go in a different direction. And you know, they did the right thing of going ahead and announcing the retirement of Zach Randolph and Tony Allen. Those are two guys that really shaped and changed the franchise. I know for a lot of people from the outside looking in, it's just a couple of guys that, you know, for Tony Allen, didn't even average 10 point double digits per game. But the things they did on the court, not only off the court, they really shaped the franchise and they made people care about basketball in Memphis. And so what they did from the time they got here to the time they left, it really changed the way people viewed the Grizzlies in Memphis. I mean, before they got here, it was a team, there was a whole lot of traction there. And after that, they changed the franchise in something that people made their work days around. They made their work schedules around to be able to get to go to the Grizzlies game tonight to watch the grandfather play and watch Zebo jab step, and then put one in over people's heads. So they made the Grizzlies fun. And so I said it on our podcast, but it really is, those guys are some people, that's all they have, you know, for the longest time in the growing up and watching basketball and growing up with the Grizzlies, that's all they know is Zach Randolph and Tony Allen. And so just from kind of that standpoint alone, they have shaped fans from very young until now they're older teenagers into their young 20s. And so, yeah, you know, they did the right thing going and announcing that they were going to retire their jerseys. And I'm sure that once Mark and Mike kind of move on, they'll probably do the same for those, as I would expect them to.
Hey, Mark, how did the fans feel about, you know, moving on from those three guys? Was the majority in support of it, or, you know, were they hoping to see at least one or two of them come back? Can you give like a quick, you know, just a quick vibe on how the city feels about letting all those guys go?
Yeah, I think people understand it. I don't think a lot of people like it, and more so Tony Allen, the way Tony Allen left and Zach Randolph. Zach Randolph left and the Grizzlies, all they had to say was, oh, well, we can't afford to pay him $24 million. And everybody kind of understood that there's no way you're going to pay Zach Randolph $24 million. And so they said, you know what, go get your money. We're happy for you. Great job, Zebo. We love you. But for Tony Allen, it was a bit different because Tony Allen signed for vet minimum. And so it wasn't like you couldn't afford him. It was a very direct, we don't want you here anymore. We're moving in a different direction. And so I think a lot of fans took that as kind of a slap in the face that, hey, you could at least brought him back for vet minimum. But again, he just wasn't a part of their plans for the future. And, you know, Tony Allen is an aging shooting guard that can't shoot, unfortunately. And he's hurt a lot in the past few years. He didn't really even play that many games. So I think people have come to terms with it. They're not super happy about it. They weren't definitely weren't happy about it when it happened, when it went down. But I think people have come to terms, and the announcement of the number nine going up in the Raptors definitely helps healing those wounds as well.
Cool. Before we get to role players and what we can expect to see from a new group of young guys that you guys have over in Memphis, a bit of breaking news today. Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Wade Baldwin will in fact be waived so the space can be made for Mario Chalmers. Chalmers previously tore his Achilles in March of 2016 with the Grizzlies after having averaged about 11 points and 4 rebounds in 55 games. He also, of course, started for the Miami Heat for 8 years, won 2 titles. And now Wade Baldwin was the 17th overall pick just 1 year ago. And I believe he started this past game against the Pelicans, where you guys were so successful. What's the reaction in Memphis to this move, Mark?
He did start. Unfortunately, that was they have been going back and forth between Andrew Harrison starting and Wade Baldwin starting to kind of get a feel of who they were going to release. And so he also didn't mention they also released Rade Zagorak, who was another top 35 pick in last year's draft as well. And so the Grizzlies released two draft picks, two top 35 draft picks today that they drafted just a year ago. And so unfortunately for the Grizzlies, it was the right move. Wade Baldwin, from everything that I've seen and everything I think that most people can kind of agree on, is that he's just not good at basketball. And unfortunately, in the NBA, you have to be good at basketball to succeed. And so Wade Baldwin's a very athletic guard, but he drives a lot to the basket and doesn't really know what he's going to do when he gets there. And that's never really changed. And so for right where the Grizzlies are right now, it was a good move to cut Rade and Wade Baldwin. Rade had no business being on in a floor with other NBA players. He came up overseas. He was outclassed. He was very overwhelmed at the NBA level. And so those two players, while cutting guaranteed contracts is not always the greatest, it was the right move for them just basketball-wise. Now, you talk about just kind of where the franchise is drafting-wise, it makes them look silly because now they have to go and admit they made another mistake with even more draft picks and with the history of this franchise and their draft picks. It just kind of makes it even worse. And so they did the right thing in cutting the right guys. I was afraid they were going to cut someone else that deserved to be on the roster. But on the other side of that, they also had to admit that they made even more mistakes with the draft picks. They've made them year in and year out. And so this is just another one of those first round draft picks for the Grizzlies that unfortunately didn't pan out.
Yeah, now everyone knows what to expect in this upcoming game on Wednesday from Mike Conley and Marcus Hall, of course. But fans will be interested to hear what you expect from the, quote, other guys. And we mentioned Wade Baldwin no longer being there. I'd assume that Andrew Harrison is now going to start in his place, although it could be Mario Chalmers, who, by all accounts, has impressed this offseason. We all know Ben McLemore is out, at least for now, but you still have an intriguing group of guys like Chandler Parsons, Wayne Selden, Tyreke Evans, along with a guy who does a pretty good job of defending AD, by all things considered, in Jamichael Green. Who are some guys that Pels fans should expect to come up big on Wednesday night?
So, yeah, I mean, it honestly is, the roster has got such high, it's so new, there's not a whole lot. We're honestly asking the same questions as who's going to be those guys off the bench. They're going to score. So as Grizzlies fans and myself, we're going to be interested to see that as well in a kind of a regular season rotation. But if I had to put money on it, I would probably say that if Wayne Selden is healthy, that's a big if. We haven't seen if he's going to be healthy or not. He's had a quad injury. He would be getting the starting two, I would assume. And then James Ennis on the three, and then Chandler Parsons will be coming off the bench at the four with Jamichael Green starting at the four. So you really, I mean, for me, you're really looking at Mario Chalmers, Tyreke Evans, and Chandler Parsons as kind of the three bench guys that are hopefully going to provide your offense for you. And so, and you'll see Mario Chalmers play with Mike Conley probably at the end of the first quarter as they kind of are getting Mike some rest, or that they'll probably bring Mario in a little early and let Mike play the two and Mario play the main point guard position. We saw a lot of that last time Mario was on the court with Mike. So that allowed Mike to score, to get a lot more points late in the second quarter, late in the third quarter, going into the second and fourth. So I expect that to happen again. You know, we do expect people like Tyreek Evans, who is unfortunately a ball stopper, but, you know, he's one of those guys that when the offense does break down, he's one of those guys that says, you know, could just go out and hopefully get you a bucket. And so he's looked, you know, okay in the preseason, nothing that just stood out for me, but he's one of the guys I'm looking at that I think, you know, he has to be the kind of sixth man for the Grizzlies. Him and Mario Chalmers are going to have to be those guys that can go out and get you buckets. And then the other X factor is obviously Chandler Parsons. You know, we have a lot of in the Grizzlies area and space that we talk about is Chandler Parsons. He moves well, or he seems to look well. And unfortunately, we're going to have to stop using that barometer at some point and just say, hey, can he play basketball? And so he didn't shoot the ball well in preseason. Unfortunately, he still looks like he's not getting, he doesn't really have his legs under him. But he's the other guy that he's going to have to get you 12 to 15 points a game. And so, you know, a lot of things hinge on those rotation guys for the Grizzlies. If they're out there getting buckets, if Chandler Parsons is getting 15 points a game and Mario Chalmers and Tyreek Evans are scoring the basketball, they're a completely different team. Now, if Chandler Parsons is what he was in the preseason and can't really shoot the ball, can't really move, or, you know, unfortunately, if he were to get injured again or something like that, you know, the Grizzlies are a completely different team, but I think, you know, struggle to win 30 games this year. So those are kind of the three guys that I'll look at. And then the end of the rotation is going to really look at Dylan Brooks looks to get some minutes, their second round pick this year. He got a lot of minutes in the preseason.
Take it from a Pelicans fan. Dude is going to the All-Star game.
Dylan Brooks, I'm a fan. I'm the captain of the Dylan Brooks bandwagon. I'm calling it right now. But, you know, he's the guy at the end of the bench, whether I think it'll be kind of nightly, whether Dylan Brooks and Wayne Seldon, what kind of minutes they see, because once McLemore comes back, I fully expect him to kind of move into the starting two-guard spot there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with what you said. Just from the Pelicans game alone, I saw Chalmers moving pretty well. He actually surprised me, you know, because the word with him last year was that he hadn't fully recovered, so the teams weren't willing to take a chance on him. He looks good to go now. So I agree with you. He looks good.
Chalmers surprised everybody. I mean, in the first game, everybody was like, whoa. I mean, and after the first game, it was like, well, can he do it the second game? I mean, he did it every game in the preseason. Some of the balls he kind of went after to save out of bounds and kind of the first step explosiveness, those kind of things you expect to not be there after an Achilles injury, and they were all there. And so that was it was very surprising. Hopefully he holds up for the season for them.
Mark, and lastly, conversely, Tyreek Evans, I just got to quickly touch on because he was such a divisive subject here in New Orleans. Tyreek, I don't know if you watched him during Sacramento days, but to me, he looked like the guy that we just got rid of. Basically, Tyreek still looks like he doesn't have his legs whatsoever, and he's just looking for his place on the floor. Grant, I only saw 10 minutes of him, you know, this last Friday. So you kind of said that he's been okay and you have expectations he can be that sixth man, but what kind of lends you to believe that he will, you know, he'll hold up and he's got the legs and the game still, I guess, you know,
Well, unfortunately, I'm just being hopeful. I've seen nothing from him being in Sacramento or from the preseason that just, like I said, he was just okay. I mean, to me, he didn't see, there was nothing I saw that was like, oh my gosh, that's Tyreek Evans, you know, save for maybe one or two drives to the basket, you know, and that's largely important. If you don't stand out, that's just as important as if you do stand out to me. And so that goes a long way, you know, and he was just okay. And I think that speculation is that he needs to be that sixth guy is just, you know, that's kind of where they brought him into that, be that role is be that super sub. Because even with, you know, Andrew Harrison starting the second guard, Sabat, or Ben McLemore kind of starting at the two guard, you know, we've never had any kind of talk of him getting to the starting lineup. It was always, we need offense off the bench. Last year, whenever Mike Conley kind of went out of a game and the second unit came in, the offense just completely broke down. And so they have been looking for someone like Tyreek that can go out and get buckets. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like I said, I don't have any facts that says, okay, he's going to be that. I think we're all just kind of hopeful that he will be. But like you said, there's nothing in the preseason that just stands out and says, yes, he's back.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if I'd missed something. Okay, great.
No, you haven't. You haven't missed anything.
Ali, I'm going to throw this over to you first. Your memory's a little bit better than mine. I seem to remember last year when the Pelicans were so successful against the Grizzlies. Boogie had a fantastic game, 41-16. I think he was primarily matched up with Marcus Gasol. I saw those guys go one-on-one a lot, and Marcus Gasol was really quiet that game. I think he had 10-6. However, on Friday, just from what I watched the first half, but to be honest, I didn't finish the game. We saw AD matched up a good bit on Gasol. What do you expect the matchups to be? The most important ones on Wednesday. How does our starting point guard factor into this, whether it be Ian Clark or Etuan Moore? And then, Mark, let's hear your rebuttal to that to hear what you expect from those matchups. Sorry, let's start with Ali.
Yeah, okay. That's what I figured. I don't think having Anthony Davis guard Marc Gasol is a new thing. He did that a lot last year, especially after, obviously, once Boogie came over. It was kind of surprising at first to see that, but they stuck with it. I think what they like is that dexterity, like that matchup, so to speak, because Gasol's very skilled and Boogie was, you know, obviously a better fit on the body because he himself was kind of out of shape on Zach Randolph. Going into this year, I still expect it actually to flip-flop. You know, with JaMychal Green, I'm sorry, but Boogie, you don't want him out there going at the three-point line, even though I don't think JaMychal's become the world's biggest threat yet, but granted, you've got to respect him enough out there, and that's where he can just either penetrate past Boogie or on a back cut. So I think the Pelicans are probably going to flip-flop that with this upcoming matchup. That's where they're going to put Boogie on Gasol and hope for the best. I know in the past when he was in Sacramento, the Marcus Cousins had a hell of a problem. He had a lot of problems with Marc Gasol, either getting under his skin or just having those big games. That's where Boogie couldn't get going. So it was kind of surprising that he was able to have that game, as you just referenced to, Preston, where he just blew up and he carried the Pelicans to that big win against Memphis late in the season.
Mark, what are you expecting from these matchups? And should we expect to see Jrue Holiday primarily matched up against Mike Conley for most of the contest?
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I would say it just really depends on who starts that second guard spot for the Grizzlies, really. But I would say sometimes, you know, a lot of times they'll hide Mike Conley and put him on a lesser offensive player just to save him for the other end of the court. Not necessarily he's a bad defender, just because they want to save him for the offensive floor, so, the offensive end of the court. So I think it really depends on who starts in that second slot for Memphis, and right now we just really don't know, and so I think it really depends on what happens there. As far as the big guys, I think Ollie's right. I mean, you know, the Marcus has historically struggled with Mark in Sacramento. Like I said, whether it's technical fouls getting under his skin or just really a struggle with him in general, and so the Grizzlies, I would still expect Mark to be guarding DeMarcus and then JaMychal to guard Anthony Davis. So I think they'll largely probably stick with that. And again, I would probably with Ollie said, if the Pelicans flip-flop that, you know, with DeMarcus, I'm not sure they want DeMarcus covering JaMychal Green either. He doesn't shoot it a lot, but, you know, he does shoot it from the corner three quite well. And so that's something that I'll be interested in, is how the Pelicans play defense there. And if they, you know, if they ever even swap it in the middle of the game. But you know, I'll be interested to see just how JaMychal Green really, how he plays offensively if Anthony Davis is on him. And so that will be very interesting to see if he's able to do anything offensively, that he doesn't already do in every other game. And so I think the Grizzlies will probably largely stick to what they've done historically in the past, which is Marc Gasol on DeMarcus and then JaMychal Green with Anthony Davis.
All right, Ollie, you got anything for Mark?
Not really. I tend to think that Jrue Holiday, though, is going to end up on Mike Conley, whether it doesn't even matter who's going to be that second guard, simply because Jrue Holiday for the Pelicans, Mark, he always guards the best perimeter player. And with Solomon Hill out, it even becomes a bigger issue. So I expect Holiday to truly hound Conley. But then again, Mike kind of, you know, took it to him, I thought, on Friday. Even though it was a preseason game, he kind of got around him quite easily. So I'll be curious if A, Jrue Holiday either picks up his game, or they may have like something else set up as to where they may look to double him. I mean, I'm not sure. Like you said, it all depends on the wings you guys are going to start. Are they going to be able to drop the three ball early? Because, my God, on Friday, you guys made everything.
Well, yeah, but on Friday, we were in some kind of weird alternate universe where the Grizzlies scored 140 points, which just never happened. Like, you know, it's been, I think the franchise record was 144, and we did 142 or something weird like that. So that was some kind of alternate universe we'll never get back to.
I say baloney, man. You guys are playing us again. I'm telling you, their eyes are going to light up as soon as they see us walk in the gym.
All right, Ollie, that's not the right kind of attitude. Let's wrap this up. All right, let's wrap this up. Prediction time. We'll let you do the honors as our guest, Mark. Give me your final score and your game MVP.
So I'll probably, I'm going to go with the Grizzlies 92-86 Pelicans. Typically, it's always, it's not a huge, a high scoring game with the Pelicans. So, I'm just going to roll with Marc Gasol. I'm hopefully that he recognizes that he has to be the MVP for the Grizzlies to win. You know, he has to recognize that his bad shot is better than everybody else, or his bad shot is better than everybody else's good shot. And so for us to win, the Grizzlies will have to have Marc Gasol play well.
All right, Ollie, what's your take?
I don't know if you want to hear it, but I think
you're so negative today.
Well, I don't know, man. They put me in a bad mood on Friday, so I don't know. You come out there, if you're going to play your stars, they better perform. And my God, they just fell flat on their faces. So I'm going to say that some of that carries over as to where they're still kind of lost defensively and offensively. You know, we've got our big guns, but they're going to need a few more contributions. And playing up in Memphis opening night, you know, Memphis is going to be up for the game. So I'm going to say Grizzlies, and I think Mark, they'll score a little more. I don't know. I'll give it 108 to like 100. And for the MVP, I'm going to give it to Conley. I think he's going to be one of the best point guards that nobody's going to talk about as usual, but I think he's going to get off to a great start this year. And he's just going to lead your guys' team because he needs to. He doesn't have enough around him like he has in years past.
Mark, you have truly broken Ollie's spirit. This was our number one cheerleader all off season long. And in one exhibition contest, he's just gone straight to the cellar. What is the matter with you? Snap out of it, Ollie.
The Grizzlies, hey, come on, Preston. Grizzlies, everybody's making them out to be some kind of chump team. But let's face it, they're still at home. They're still got solid guys. And we haven't really shown anything all preseason. So why are we to expect, hey, we've turned some kind of corner? I want to hear your prediction real quick before we go.
This is no discredit to the Memphis Grizzlies, just in an overloaded Western Conference. These are the type of games that you have to win if you're going to compete. Obviously, there's four contests. You know, it's in no likelihood are we going to win all of them. And with injuries to Frank Jackson, Solomon Hill, Rajon Rondo, there's a lot of discontinuity happening right now. We don't even know. I don't even know who's going to start. I think you said earlier on the Crew to True podcast, that you're expecting to see Etuan Moore and Dante Cunningham out there, which is not ideal in my estimation. But whoever you have out there, you're going to have Ian Clark seeing minutes, Darius Miller seeing minutes. Everybody's going to get a crack at playing some minutes. But with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, especially on Friday, like just taking such a back seat, I expect these guys to come out balls to the wall. They both have been preaching all offseason that they want to win. The time is now. Let's let them prove it. It's regular season. It's Wednesday night, October 18th. The NBA season is upon us. You know, if you want to be MVP, DeMarcus Cousins, if you want to be an all-NBA team, you want to get that max five-year $176 million deal, come out here and prove it. Marc Gasol is good. I can't remember if he's in the last year of his contract. I think he's got an extra year on there. Mike Conley's just in the second year of a five-year, I think, $150 million deal. These guys are paid. Not to say they're not going to be hungry and they're not going to perform. You've got all these young guys who are going to want opportunities. Mario Chalmers is going to want an NBA return comeback player of the year award. All these guys are going to be hungry, obviously. David Fizdale's a great coach. But when you got two top 10, top 20 players at Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Drew Holiday coming out here trying to earn his contract. It's time to put up or shut up, boys. And on Wednesday, I think we're gonna perform a lot better than you give him credit for. But, you know, a lot of people are predicting at the onset of the season, we've got a tough slate. And then in January, February, and March is where we're going to rattle off a lot of wins. So, you know, even if we drop this one, I'm not going to be too negative about it, but I do think that this game is one that matters for the Pelicans, and I think we come out and we win it. I'll say 108 to 102, but what do I know? You're the expert. I'm just the guy who edits and produces this thing.
I just can't believe we flipped roles today. This is something bizarro world. I don't know where we are.
You know, to be completely honest, on Friday I was watching DeMarcus Cousins do some DeMarcus Cousins things, like frustration fouls and biting on pump fakes from Robin Lopez at 18 feet. And I was like, oh my gosh, if we start off the season this way, I'm going to jump right back off the bandwagon. But, you know, it's time to get excited. This is the best time of the year for all NBA fans because everybody's 0-0. We've all got a shot. We've all got hope. And man, I'm going to ride this hope until we come out of these gates 0-4, and then I'll jump right in the ditch with you. But we actually got to get out of here because we actually have to jump over to Mark's podcast. Thank you so much to Mark. Again, you guys can follow him at King_producer, read his work at Grizzly Bears. Bear Blues. I always have some trouble with that. And also listen to his podcast at 3&D, which Ali and I are about to switch over to, as I just mentioned, for our Pelicans preview. How about that for a twist? And as always, check in daily at the Bird Rights or thebirdrights.com. If you like what you're hearing, you want to show us some love, retweet, share us, rate us on iTunes. You can find the link to rate us on iTunes pinned at the top of my Twitter page. Suggestions for the pod are always welcome at Preston Ellis, and criticism is always welcome at Ali Cassell. And we will be back this afternoon with Kevin Berrios and Ali following with some previews of the upcoming slate of games. Then we'll have game recaps from Travis and Trevor to Wednesday night's matchup with Mark King and his Grizzlies. Let's get hyped, guys. I'm pumped. The regular season's starting. Don't listen to Ali. He's probably just tired from playing so much hardwood today. It's game time.
You're so right. Let's go. Yeah, you are right.
Let's
contributing
go
factor. All right.